Hi there, everyone. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Now, we're going to start this major effort to get you to get into action so that your life is best possible. So we're going to focus for a little while on how you stop yourself short of unhappiness and fulfillment. I've been reading the work of Dan Newharth, and he's a psychologist who's been examining self-defeating behavior. Because how to be more fulfilled in life is not a mystery. I mean, we know the answers, right? Exercise regularly. Face rather than avoid your problems. Help other people. Have goals that matter to you. Love and be loved. Accept yourself. And there are many such relatively straightforward paths to reducing your stress and becoming happier and healthier. But the problem is, why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? We are undeniably complex beings and our impulses can kidnap us. Why is it that we do it? What was I thinking? You know, you think about later. Here are some of the things. Think about yourself. Have you ever pursued a short-term gain at the cost of a long-term pain? Like, you know, having a relationship with somebody where short-term immediate pleasure, but long-term grief. Have you ever cruised through important situations on autopilot, like you weren't there? And people noticed, therefore you didn't get what you needed. Have you ever pressured yourself without let up, paying a price with your health? Have you ever done that, where you just work and work and work and work and then boom, collapse? Have you ever overlooked, minimalized, or rationalized serious problems that you needed to face? Have you ever ate, drank, or spent too much money, then felt bad about yourself? Have you ever ignored your intuition and experience and then gotten hurt? Have you ever given yourself to those who did not cherish you and then lost self-esteem because they didn't cherish you? And have you waited too long to quit too soon? Have you either waited too long to quit or quit too soon? Forfeiting your hopes and your needs. Forfeiting. Have you ever denied yourself victory or pleasure after working hard to attain it? And have you ever stoked unrealistic expectations, ensuring an inevitable letdown? Have you ever done any of those things? Those, my friends, are what we all do. That's it. That's why we have, that's how we've blocked our happiness. So the question becomes, what is it? What are the keys to overcoming this stuff? Who are you at your best? You know, is there a best self who would do all the right things? Well, where is that best self? How can you more readily recognize and overcome these habits and these overreactions that sometimes get in the way of your plans? What are the keys to overcoming fear? If fear is the thing that stops you, how can you achieve greater balance and self-acceptance? That's a good question for the year. How can you best triumph over adversity? And how can you live each day based on what really matters to you, as opposed to just letting the time pass by? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're looking at some of the secrets of happiness, and we're looking at some of the things that we could do to stop self-defeating behavior. And that's clearly the beginning of it. It's important to be able to recognize many of the things about when we are ourselves and when we're not ourselves, because when we are ourselves, we tend less to do self-defeating behaviors. It's when we're not ourselves that we do the most. You know, some people believe in following their bliss. Joseph Campbell wrote about follow your bliss. Well, is that the way to do it? Follow your bliss. And is your bliss what feels good? What if it doesn't feel good? What if your bliss doesn't feel good temporarily? Do you follow it then? I wonder if Joseph Campbell exercised, right? Because you're not always following your bliss when you exercise. Well, some people think it's wonderful. Pause for a moment and recall a time when you felt deeply content. Do it right now. Think of a time when you felt deeply content. Think of maybe you had an epiphany. You had some kind of a great awakening about your life's goal. You felt at peace with the world. When's the last time you felt at total peace with the world? When is it? Think of the most. Think about a time when you felt at total peace. Can you get that time? Whew. Right. Were you yourself at that moment? Of course you were. That's that profound feeling that we have. Now, when we function from other than that profound feeling of being at total peace, then we're functioning from an other than felt sense of self. And so this we have to recognize, being able to recognize that we are not at our center, that we are not at our best self, must make us suspicious about that which we're about to do or any decisions we make. However, when you're looking at yourself and when you're examining yourself, it is very hard to see that your evaluation of yourself is not always accurate. How do I know that? Well, 25% of high school students who were surveyed rated themselves at the top 1% in leadership ability. How could 25% see themselves as the top 1%? Right? The truth is only 1% is at the 1%, but 25% perceive themselves that way, even better. 80% of all drivers rate themselves as better than average drivers. 83% of college students think of themselves as more generous than average. Well, you can't see anything more than 50%. So 83% see themselves as more generous than average. 94% of university professors rank themselves better than average at their job. 94% of college professors. Now, it's very interesting. We're going to come back to college professors later. College professors specifically have a very great difficulty in judging and seeing themselves. We'll get back to that later. 85% of the people rate their own manners as good or excellent, but only 23% of the people judge those 85% as having good manners. So we think that we're much better than we are. So flattering self-definitions like this, you know, they're okay. They don't do much harm to us. But if we could view ourselves as too big, that's almost as bad as viewing ourselves as too small, too dumb, too unworthy, or a loser. Seeing yourself as more intelligent than you are, better looking than you are, it's just as difficult because you're not dealing with who you are. So self-deception becomes a big key when you're talking about defeating yourself, because you're looking at yourself and you're not seeing yourself. When you're looking at self-sabotage, you are not seeing yourself. Self-deception. Just as we're unaware of when at the moments, like when you're falling asleep. When you're falling asleep, you never know when you're falling asleep. You know, you don't get the moment. You're unaware of the moment we enter into this kind of sleep. You're falling asleep, then you're asleep, right? Well, self-deception's like that. You're not aware of when the self-deception is happening. You could feel it kind of coming on, like you're falling in love with somebody you just met. And you could feel yourself saying, oh, I think I'm doing, and then boom, you're gone. Then you're in the self-deception. No, I'm really in love. This person is really fantastic. Much better than the person I met last night. Right? This is the real thing. So it's kind of like falling asleep. You're halfway there, and you're doubting it at first, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're in it. With self-deception, you see what you want, and you ignore what is reality. Self-deception lives in a world of alternate realities based on what-if or if-only premises. They call this phenomena in social psychology counterfactual thinking. Counterfactual thinking is literally thinking and perceiving things contrary to the facts. He's really a nice guy while he beats up his dog. You know what I mean? Oh, she's really a wonderful mother while you see her dragging the kid by the foot. It's having a reality. Counterfactualizing is seeing something not for what it is. But now, it's a very important part of self-deception. If you're a counterfactor, right, factualizer, if that's what you do, if you see facts and you convert them in your mind to other facts, then you are deceiving yourself because you can't see yourself. Now, here's the question. The question is, do we just kind of fall into it automatically? How does it happen? And here's what the research has been indicating. The research is indicating that as you begin to deceive yourself, there's a continuum. And on this continuum, you deceive yourself a little bit and then a little more, then a little more, then boom, all of a sudden you're completely self-deceived. But there is a continuum. So self-sabotage is you hurt yourself a little bit, you hurt yourself a little more, you hurt yourself a little more, then boom, you really kick yourself in the head. Then you really do something bad. This is Armando Mill with you with the positive mind. Now, when you look at your friends' self-defeating behaviors, it becomes really easy because you look at them and you can say, boy, they shouldn't be doing that. Here's the things that people observe in their friends but can't observe in themselves. You can always see that you repeatedly enter into, or your friend repeatedly enters into inappropriate romantic relationship, each time vowing that it's different. Do you ever see one of your friends do that? I met him. He's really terrific. It's really wonderful. That's one of the common forms of self-deception that we observe in other people, not that we observe in ourselves. Spend more time fantasizing about improbable financial windfalls, like winning the lottery, rather than working. We see our friends do that. I'm just going to win the lottery. I'm going to get this. I'm going to fantasies. They overbook. They overpromise so often that you no longer trust what they say. Did you ever have that happen with your friends? Your friends make such commitments. I have a friend who says, yeah, well, I'm definitely going to be there. But I know the odds of them being there is not very probable because they do this all the time. They overbook. They work hard to lose 20 pounds, then they gain it right back. We see it over and over again. They'll talk about their new diet, how fantastic it is, but you know you've watched them. Crash diet, gain weight. Crash diet, gain weight. They dwell on regrets or resentments, and they can't seem to move on. When you listen to your friends who can't move, who get stuck in some regret or resentment, negativity, I'm angry at that person over and over again, they do it in such a way that they never move on. Some people spend so much time in resentment, they spend their lives resenting someone else. You look at them and you say, why don't you just get a job? Why don't you just get over it? But it's what we do perceive in our friends. We procrastinate by doing things, for example, submitting a form late, after hours. You know, like say you want to get a job and you see a job application. And I saw this happening the other day. I was parked at a passport bureau. Closes at 4 o'clock. And I was waiting there for a friend of mine who was in the passport bureau getting their passport done. And they had gotten there at 3 o'clock, and so I'm waiting outside. It's now 4 o'clock. The doors close at 4 o'clock, and I'm watching person after person come rushing to the door and getting there at 4 o'clock, 4:01. And they're banging on the door. And the guards got the door closed. And the inside, the passport agency, is so crowded that they could never serve any more people. They're trying to serve the people in there, so they got the doors closed. And the people get angry. And they show up, and one after another, they would show up and get so angry at the passport office because they were 5 minutes late, 3 minutes late, 7 minutes late, 10 minutes late. They would kick the door. They would scream. They would yell. You would hear them saying, I traveled 40 minutes to get here. Self-defeating. We could see it from the outside. You could see how bad, how much they must have unconsciously planned. As a psychotherapist, it's very interesting. Very often we see people coming late for their sessions. You know, they're about to do some work. They're exploring some part of their lives. They're about to become real, you know. They've explored their fake life, and they keep challenging it, and they're coming into therapy to kind of challenge themselves. And you see them show up a half hour late for a 45-minute session. Or people who come to see me for the first time. You know, many people bought consultations through WBAI. And they show up 40 minutes late for a 45-minute appointment with me. And then they say, you know, the dog ate the homework. You know, the fire took place, and then whatever the excuses, traffic was terrible. But you know, this is the story of their life. This is what happens. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking about self-defeating behaviors. The behaviors that we observe are the ones that we tend not to see in ourselves. Making major decisions without considering the consequences, you know, trying to buy things on, I like the way that looks. Well, is it fire retardant? Well, we don't care about that. I like the way it looks. Automatic shunning advice or helping hands. I don't need any help with this. This is a decision I want to make. When you see someone doing that, you know they're probably doing something to hurt themselves. Ignoring a romantic partner's mistreatment or staying in an unhealthy relationship even after deciding to leave. Right? That's another one you could observe in friends. Overspending wildly, but get a steady stream of new credit card applications. Boy, those credit card companies, I tell you, they'll prey on people who spend wildly. So people take out more and more credit cards, and their credit rating makes them pay 24%, 23% interest, and you become enslaved to the credit card companies. The credit card companies are always exploiting people with self-defeating behaviors. Yearn to have children. It's another thing that people do, but choose potential mates who clearly are not interested or not able to become parents. That's another one of the things. So this thing that our friends do, that we observe our friends do, but we don't notice ourselves doing, this is the self-defeating behavior. It's based on something. It's based on a thing called denial. You've heard of denial. Denial is a psychological phenomenon. You look at something and it's there, but you don't like seeing it, so you make it disappear in your eyes. You don't see it. You deny the existence of something. But something that exists. Self-sabotaging denial is universal. It's amazing. I mean, look at Nixon. Nixon recorded tapes of his own illegal activities in the White House. Why would he record tapes? He recorded these tapes, didn't stop the tape recorder, and ran it over and over again. And how self-defeating could you be? And then he tried to cover it up. And it's like the same thing happened with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton has an affair, and he has an affair with somebody where it's kind of public, and then he denies it, and then he admits it. How self-defeating could you get? Well, we have it among our presidency. You know, we have it all the way up there. Certainly, many of us do such things. It's very hard to act in your own best interest because sometimes there's at one end you have a little or no awareness of your action, and the other end you know full well that what you're doing isn't in your best interest, but you do it anyway. In between, sometimes you just say to yourself, you know, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to do what I'm told. It's just an act of rebellion. No matter where you find yourself in the continuum of awareness, denial is an important role. You just can't see. Denial clouds your ability to see what you're doing, why you're doing it, and the negative consequences. So that's where we're going to try to make ourselves deal with this. And we're going to be taking your calls about this and your own self-defeating behavior a little later. There are some people who can't help but defeat themselves. Among self-defeating behaviors include unnecessary complications. You know, people who complicate things. You ask somebody, do something simple. Would you go to the store and get something? They go to the store, and on the way, they get complicated. Should I go to this store? Should I go to that store? People who do unnecessary complications are generally people who are self-defeating. If you ask somebody to pick some food that they want to eat, they get very complicated about the food they want to pick. It's very simple. You know, you'll be at a restaurant. They'll be the last to choose their food, the very last ones. They get too complicated. Here's a few questions you could ask yourself. Then we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll take your call. When I get overwhelmed by a difficult task, it is most likely to occur when you were number one, trying to get started at the task, somewhere in the middle of the task, or trying to finish the task. Where do you get stuck? You get stuck before you start? You get stuck somewhere in the middle because it got too complicated? Or do you get stuck trying to finish the task? You just can't complete anything. You know, we have ABD, all but dissertation. That's a designation for people with almost having PhDs. They go through school to get the PhD. They struggle for years and years and years through school, but they can't complete it. And there's something about completing it, which is the dissertation that you have to put out there and defend. You have to write up what you believe in. So you become a psychologist, ABD, all but dissertation. You never finished it. Here's question number two. When you pursue your desires, is it most likely because you're unsure about or unaware of your true desires? Is that why you don't pursue your desires? You're not sure about what you want? You feel undeserving of what you want? Or you're too busy to get what you want? Which of those three? Here's a third question. When you get stuck, the most difficult part for you is admitting when you're stuck, knowing what to do about it, or taking the steps to get unstuck. Think about that. You're stuck in a job. You don't know. You have to either, if you admit to yourself that you're stuck in the job, that's very difficult because then you may have to do something about it. So you may not admit it. You may deny it. Knowing what to do about it. Once you admit that you're stuck, what are you going to do about it? And number three, taking the very steps to get unstuck. Okay, here's another question. When it comes to your emotions, is it most difficult for you to know what you're feeling, to express what you're feeling, or to accept what you're feeling? Now, to know it means to recognize it. I'm angry. To express it is another thing that's kind of simple, being able to say to someone, I'm angry with you. To accept what you're feeling is being willing to accept the very fact that you have the emotion. Many people don't want to accept that they ever get angry. In fact, among the following emotions, which is the one least likely for you to feel? Anger, sadness, or fear? Which one do you least like to feel? Which one do you like the least? Anger, sadness, or fear? Think about that. We'll come back to that. Number six, among the following emotions, Which one bothers you the most? Which emotion do you hate the absolute most? Being lonely? Being unworthy? Or being out of control? Two more. Among the following aspects of yourself, you pay the least attention to your mind, your body, or your emotions. Which one gets the least priority? Your mind, your body, your emotions. And finally, when your thoughts drift, when you get into a fantasy land, are you most likely to be thinking about the future, the past, or another physical location that you'd rather be at the moment? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're looking at self-defeating behaviors because we're looking about how people get stuck and how they might get unstuck. Some of the things that happen to us that get us stuck, we're looking at denial, and we're trying to say, you know, it's hard for us to be seeing it. Self-sabotage has many elements to it. You know, one is we mislead ourselves, we distract ourselves, we overreact is another self-defeating behavior, and we abandon ourselves. When we get back from our break, I'm going to go over these issues with you, the elements of self-sabotage. Then we're going to be taking your calls here at WBAI at 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And just one announcement to the people at WBAI who made donations to the station during the last fund drive, which guaranteed you as part of that donation, entitled you to a one-time consultation with me. I believe that not everybody got their acknowledgement in the mail. So if you believe that you gave the donation but you did not get a letter of acknowledgement, please call my office. We will check it on our list and we will make the appointment for you immediately. So 212-757-4488 to clarify that. 212-757-4488. When we get back from our break, we'll be taking your calls. We're going to take a short break and then I will come back to you with some more remarkably unusual music.
Das ist
Well, that's Melanie Renaud, R-E-N-A-U-D. Michael, did you figure out the language yet?
I'll take a guess.
Go ahead.
Is it German?
It sounded German,
yeah,
didn't it?
It did sound German.
She's a Haitian-born woman.
Wow.
Who spent her time mostly in Canada, and she speaks somewhere between Haitian and Canadian, but they don't have any mention of German, but I swear I hear German in there.
Yeah, it really sounds like it.
Melanie Renaud, I will check that out, R-E-N-A-U-D. I will look a little further.
What a groove. Thanks so much.
Isn't that really nice?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We like to bring you music. Because who knows why? Because I need to bring you music. Talk about all this serious stuff, getting to know yourself, getting to improve yourself. We are talking about how to stop sabotaging your happiness. Now, I was going to go with you, in case you just tuned in, the examples, the elements of self-sabotage. Now, you can break it into four categories. Either misleading, distracting, overreacting, or abandoning. Now, let me break these down for you. The misleading. Misleading includes ignoring or forgetting key lessons from past experiences. When you did not learn from your past experience, that is the kind of thing that defeats you, right? So somebody says to you, hey, you want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge? You say, hey, that's a good investment. A lot of people cross the Brooklyn Bridge, so you buy it from them. You find out he never owned it. And somebody else comes along and says, hey, you want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge? You say, wait a minute, I've heard this before. I will not be buying any Brooklyn Bridges. Well, some of us actually buy the second Brooklyn Bridge because the guy says to us, but this one is real. See? So ignoring or forgetting key lessons from the past is one of the ways that we mislead ourselves. Number two, the oversimplifying a complicated or important situation. Sometimes you can oversimplify. Sometimes you break it down, you know. You say something like love, and you say something like, why do you let him beat you up and go out and get drunk every night and hang out at that other woman's house? Well, because I love him. It's oversimplifying. You kind of bring it all the way down to a non-answer. Another way of misleading yourself is to think in all or nothing black and white terms. You know, it's good, it's bad. You got to learn. You got to learn about the gray, the nuances of life. Strong judgments, having positive, powerful judgments one way or another is another way of misleading yourself. You know, you just judge things, good, bad. This is right, this is wrong. Another way of misleading yourself is stoking unrealistic expectations. That means you have an unrealistic expectation and you keep kind of feeding it. You know, he's going to call and then he's going to propose and then he's going to bring me flowers and you keep, well, he didn't call today because he's a firefighter and there must have been a fire, and you keep feeding yourself information to keep stoking and keep these burning, this unrealistic expectations. And then finally, the most misleading of all misleading things is excessive rationalizing or justifying. Justifying, to justify is to explain why you do something. Why'd you do that? Well, blah, 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 blah. You know, and they explain it and explain it and explain it. And they rationalize it and they say the reason why is so on and so forth. That's guaranteed self-defeating. Now, another category of self-defeating behaviors is called distracting self-defeating behaviors. That's when you overindulge in escapist activities like overeating, shopping, sex, TV viewing, playing on the computer, working on the computer. Instead of playing on the computer, playing on the computer is what used to be the old expression for computers. He's playing on the computer, you know? And they meant it originally when you first got computers. I have this fantasy. I'm going to leave this all aside for a minute. That the day is going to come one day when everybody is going to walk over to the East River. I grew up near the East River. And they're going to bring every electronic device that they own that is used for communication. They're going to have their cell phones, they're going to have their beepers, they're going to have their computers, they're going to have their Walkman, they're going to have their iPods, and all at once, everybody's going to throw it in the East River. Now, I know you automatically feel bad about the fish, but maybe they'll learn. Maybe they'll build a computer down there and they'll learn, but I have this fantasy that one day, everybody throws away their electronic devices, and we step back about 40 years. Right, we'd be back to the 60s. Imagine if at Woodstock everybody had a cell phone. It would have been horrendous. Right? Well, anyway, back to me. Distracting. So, another distracting behavior is fantasizing or daydreaming at inappropriate times, like when you're on the radio and talking about your daydreams. I'm sure you enjoy it. Another is stalling or procrastinating. And now this procrastinating, this waiting to make a decision and stalling a decision, that's, I know people who do that all the time. They would do it with buying, renting apartments. Can't get the apartment now, can't get the apartment now. We got to wait, I got to think about something else. And they would stall and stall and they would lose it over and over again. And another way of distracting is substituting pleasant time wasters for unpleasant but needed chores. You got to clean your house. You got to get things in order. You know what I mean? But you don't like doing that, so you mess it up a little more because it's fun. You have a wrapper in your hand. You know, a wrapper from something that you just unwrapped. Well, the floor's a mess anyway. Just throw it on the floor. Third category of self-defeating behaviors comes to do with overreacting. This is fixating on the trivial. You take a little thing and you think about it. It's a small thing. Toothbrushes. I heard somebody get upset about battery-operated toothbrushes the other day. The type that was good and not good. Fixating on the trivial. Acting impulsively in important or complicated situations. Like you'll hear people, especially stock market losers, people who buy, you know, I'll buy that quickly. You know, I just put it, they make decisions very, very fast. Overreacting is also pursuing short-term gratification despite long-term costs. You want to have sex, you don't care. Disease, no disease, illness, no, who you cheating on, none of that. Just, you got to have it. You're driven by your impulses. Eat what you want to eat. Forget about your diet. Feeling paralyzed is the opposite of that. You could feel paralyzed. This is a form of overreaction when you need to act, like a deer in the headlights. You need to take an action, and instead you just freeze. That's an overreaction. Frightening yourself with worst-case thinking is another way of overreacting. You know, what if I decide that I want to get that job, and when I'm going there, an airplane falls on 57th Street and destroys my bicycle. Right? Okay. Self-loathing is another form of overreacting. Beating yourself up, criticizing yourself. One of the worst things you could do to yourself. Rebelling. Rebellion is a form of overreaction. It is definitely a self-defeating behavior. Now, I know you're going to say, but you must rebel. But it's how you rebel. If you automatically rebel against all authority, I guarantee you, you must stay in your childhood forever because that's what children do. You see, people who are growing up, they realize, oh, there are grown-ups and there are children, and in order for me to become one of the grown-ups, one of the things I'm going to have to do is join their club for a little while. And then when I'm in their club, if I don't like the way their club is, we'll change the club. We'll make it a little different. Maybe we won't do it the same as they did before, but I'm going to do it from the inside, not the outside. When you're a child who's rebelling, the only thing you do is just scream and yell, and they yell back and they close you out, self-defeating. Now, finally, the fourth category of self-defeating behavior is called abandoning. You give up. You just give up too often. That's one form of it. You start something, you give up. Another form of abandoning is when you space out at key moments. You're listening to the program, you're trying to write it down. Oh, I had this cutest thing happen the other day. I knew a man. A whole group of people went outside. They were going to listen to the 4th, January 1st. They wanted to hear the noise in the city. There was a little fireworks going on. The whole group goes out, and he stays inside, and he says, no, I'm going to watch the ball drop. I want to see the ball drop. And this is a man who gets distracted very easily, tends to make the wrong choices for himself. Well, we're out there with a whole group of us out there. We see the fireworks saying Happy New Year. It's kind of nice. It's wonderful. There's noise all over the city. It was taking place. The party was happening outdoors. Finally, he comes out about 15 minutes afterwards. And I said, so how was the ball dropping? And he said, you know, he said, I got so involved in something I was reading, I didn't even see it happen. I got it. Got it. He didn't feel bad. He just, that's the way he is. Spacing out. Running away from situations you need to face is another form of abandonment. You know, it's one of the things, you got to face a situation, take it on, my friends. If you got trouble with your taxes, do your taxes. Do them. Don't have them keep chasing you. Don't have the collectors calling you every minute. Deal with the issues. You know, you don't deal with the issues. One of the ways you do it is you abandon the issues, and you're spending your life running away, ignoring phone calls, not paying attention to people. Now, people who abandon certain responsibilities engender a new culture of vipers, of people who go after the people who are avoiding things. So if you're a tax evader, somebody becomes a tax collector. Who becomes a tax collector? To tax evaders, the kind of person who can't get a decent job in life. Why would he want to go after people? Who becomes a bill collector? Right? What attorney becomes a bill collector? A credit agency chasing you down. What kind of people do that? The people who can't get a decent job otherwise. So they just decide they're going to spend their life intimidating you. But you see, by you scoffing the law, by you running away from situations you need to face, you engender it. It's like maggots. They grow from stuff that's dead, that's laying around. You're bringing them around. Or cockroaches, you know, you're inviting them by not cleaning. There's not anything wrong with a cockroach, you know, but don't complain about them. And then another form of abandonment for people who are self-defeating is people who avoid making a commitment. They almost make a commitment and then they don't make a commitment. They make a commitment and then they back out of it. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen people do that. They come in for therapy, they get ready, they're really ready to change, and they're ready to change, and they get close to it and close to it. And I know they better get their next appointment within 7 days, because if it's in within 10 days, or 12 days, or 14 days, they are going to talk themselves out of it. Now, I'm not talking about the business of it, I'm talking about they're going to talk themselves out of the work of changing their mind. That's why if you're going to a gym, you can't go 2 weeks without going to the gym. You have to keep going because you got to keep your commitment. Okay? And finally, the last one of abandoning is becoming overly dependent is another way of defeating yourself. There are groups that are meant for people who are dependent people. You know, when you are dependent on someone else, when you are overly dependent, you don't even have a life. You don't even give. You don't have a life where you could kind of bring yourself to anything that you need. You're always in service of somebody else. So overdependent people are always, in effect, abandoning their true selves. They ignore their own needs. They ignore their own boundaries. And they're always victims to somebody else's behaviors. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So finally, I guess we're not going to take calls today, but we will take them when next we meet. There are times that you sidestep your conscience and your better judgment by capitulating to these overwhelming thoughts or impulses. Now, when you capitulate, when you feel these overwhelming thoughts or impulses, wouldn't it be nice to just be able to relax and say, what's going on? I am going to relax, and I'm not going to make a decision until I'm calm. But most people don't make decisions when they're calm. They make decisions when they're hyper-excited. And then somehow they wind up making the wrong decisions. So being able to monitor yourself so that your decisions come out of calmness, not out of depression, out of calmness, and not out of being hyper-excited or overstimulated, that's really important. In order to do that, there are things you got to do for yourself, for your mind, your body. You got to keep yourself in decent shape. Partying late into the night before an important work project or an important test. You ever do that when you were in college? You party all night, right? And you have a really important test the next day. You know, there's a part of you that doesn't want to pass that test. Because there are many parties, but only one test. Seething when someone brings out, getting angry at people, feeling resentful, resentful with people you don't know. Like if somebody goes on a line in front of you that says 10 items only, and there's somebody comes along with 12 items, and they're in front of you, and you get angry at them, and you say, how could you do that? How could that person? And you spend your time getting angry over people doing very small things. Oh, my friends, what a way to spend your time. That's another self-defeating behavior, getting angry at people you don't even know over small things. And then there's finally one more I'm going to bring to you, and only one more. When you're a creative person, impulsively destroying something you've created because it's not perfect and throwing the whole thing away. I know a chef who cooks. She cooks, she'll make a whole bunch of stuff. She'll see one thing will be wrong with it, boom, she throws it all out. Doesn't think of improving it or changing it. Throws everything away. Doesn't even want to see it. No chance of changing it. I know artists who do that. They paint something, they see something they don't like, they throw away the whole canvas. Musicians who do it, the least successful. The most successful ones take whatever it is and they figure out a way to make it work. And they do make it work, you know? They do. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I just talked for all this time. I meant to take your calls. So I guess what I'm going to have to do is play you some more music. I'll play you some more music, and then I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. I'll be here on Monday, but on Tuesday at 1 p.m., and we'll be back on the radio, and so we'll try to continue. If you want to ask me some questions or want to make some comments about this, you can send me an email to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com, thepositivemind.com. You can also look at the website as well, thepositivemind.com. This is Armand DeMille. I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Don't defeat too much, and here's a little other music.
Je tiens parole, les idées folles. Une femme facile et de l'alcool. Il est facile de quitter Paname. Le soleil crame de midi à minuit. Salut les mecs, je m'arrache chez elle. Maïa à la couleur du ciel. Tous les regards braqués sur elle. 12 heures que je la cherche, tends moi la perche. Fumer le matin, écrire la nuit. Les jours sont longs sur une plage de béton. Lunettes noires, bébé Lascar. Fait des caprices de... La couleur caramel, passe-moi des feuilles et une camelle pour mes C'est mon parcours, papa caramel, survivant aux escroqueries et aux querelles, de maîtresse en maîtresse, esquive les bassesses, à la recherche d'une vie meilleure, à la conquête du monde de la musique. Si la violence reprend ses droits, cherche pas, je serai roi. Quand y a pas d'espoir, de solution, de beauté dans les bas-fonds, la vérité s'appelle première consultation. Alors réponse, Vanessa existe, et je l'ai quittée pour la misère et la bagarre entre faux frères. Un pensionnaire dans ce monde de riches, laisse-moi chanter si j'étais riche. Quality Street et caramel. J'ai attrapé la couleur caramel. Passe-moi des feuilles et une camelle pour mélanger, pour faire tourner la planète Terre sous le soleil. J'ai attrapé la couleur caramel. Passe-moi des feuilles et une camelle pour mélanger, pour faire tourner la planète Terre sous le soleil. Comme à l'époque des yo-yo, un sac de billes et les ballons de tango. T'as quoi comme image sur ton album des cités d'or? Une soirée d'un ennui mortel, joue aux rebelles, rue La Chapelle. Quand l'amitié m'appelle, la police m'interpelle. Je ne serais passé à côté de l'essentiel. 48 heures de garde à vue, et qui je retrouve? Un alcoolique, une prostituée et une femme flic. Et le gendarme de Saint-Tropez qui fait du naturisme écrit un livre sur le communisme. Il est bourré de trouvailles visuelles. Alors sociale, la capitale, ok.
Pour plus vite que les pas.
Pour plus vite que les pas. Adieu Marcel, tu m'as donné la couleur caramel. Adieu Marcel.